I just want you to know this morning, as we were praying for that lady that had the problem, that there is no sickness in this world that has any reality attached to it. If a man could put his hand in his bosom and pull it out and it's got leprosy, and then the Lord says, hey, put it back, will you? He put it back and he pulled it out and it was whole. That's the power of evil, sickness, pain, whatever you want. That's how powerful it is.
Amen.
It has no power.
Right.
In fact, it only exists in our consciousness. That's all. So many times when we talk about healing, I don't talk about healing. I don't believe Jesus healed anybody. He just released reality. That's all. And it's as simple as that. It's what you think in your heart that becomes your reality. And this morning, for that dear lady, I want to tell you, in my heart, I just said, thank you, Lord, that thing is gone because it didn't exist in the first place.
Amen.
Nobody took anything out. Nobody changed your body. Hey, you thought it was there. But now, God says, enjoy yourself. There is one thing that I believe we need more than anything else, and that is the sense of the presence of God. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to leave you. Well, he didn't say that. He said, I'm going away. But we thought that meant that he was going back to heaven or somewhere. But you see, he said, if I go away, I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself. Not to take you to heaven, but to receive you unto myself, so that wherever I am, that's where you are. I have no desire to go to heaven because I do not believe that you can go to heaven. I was traveling with a man in the car. We were talking about this. And he said, you don't believe that you can go to heaven? I said, no. I said, you want to prove it? He said, yeah, I'd like to. I said, set your GPS there on heaven and see where we go. Well, he wouldn't do it. because he knew I'd won. Heaven is not a geographic location.
That's right.
But I'll tell you one thing. Wherever Christ is,
yes,
that's heaven.
Yes.
Get where he is,
yes,
and enjoy life. Psalm 139. And the psalmist, he's just really reciting the reality of life for us. And this is what he says. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but he says here, you have searched me and you know me, the first verse. You have searched me and you know me. There are people in this meeting here today who've had a very rough start in their life. There are people here that have been raised in a family that didn't have a whole lot of love. There are people here that have been raised in a family that fell apart before they were adults. And the mother and father parted. And perhaps the children, you've been sent to one party, the mother, you go to the mother for a week and you have a couple of days with your father or whatever it is. And that is devastating. And I don't know all you people here, but if there's anybody here today and that has been your experience, I tell you, it will have left a mark upon your life.
Yes, no
And you have felt robbed of a childhood that you should have had, which would be one of love and fulfillment. But instead, you were robbed of that love and fulfillment. But I want to tell you this morning that God is able to restore that which the locust hath eaten.
Yes.
That means that whatever has happened in your life, you do not have to carry that to your grave. But today, this could be the day in which the past begins to disappear.
Yes, amen.
And you begin to live out of a new experience.
Yes,
you have searched me and known me. I want you to know that God knows every fine detail about your life.
Yes.
God reads your thoughts. He knows what's in your heart. And he's listened to the tears as they've dropped onto your pillow at night when you've gone to sleep. And I believe that he's caught every one of those tears and says, I'm going to take these tears from you. And the rain from heaven is going to bring a blessing through open windows that you will not be able to endure. This is God. You see, we have to get beyond the time that we live in. We have to get beyond the situations in which we never found God.
Right.
You might have looked for God in your family. You didn't see it. I mean, it's squabbling and fighting and eventually a divorce, separation. And you think, this must be life. This is how it is. God said, no, that's not how it is. That's what happens when the presence of God is not existing in your consciousness. I know people that have been through traumatic experiences who have gone back into their home environment and so on, and have had no problems whatsoever with it. But we have men coming back from the war today in Australia. They came back from Iraq and their marriages fell apart. Why? Because they had been so affected in their mind.
Yes.
As they watched their fellow men being blown apart beside them, bodies that were lying around there that were dead. I mean, those boys, their mind was just overcome with the things that they saw and experienced. And it's ruined them for life on the earth. And there's no psychiatrist on this earth that can put that back together. But I tell you, God can.
Amen.
God can.
Amen.
So you see, it doesn't matter what you've been through. But I want you to see God in your circumstances. Listen to this. He says here, there's not a word in my heart, in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have beset me behind and before me, and you've laid your hand upon me. This is you. God said, I've already laid my hand upon you. You may have a sadness in your heart still tonight over circumstances in your life. You may even have some problem in your body tonight, today. Some problem. And you think, Lord, have you forsaken me? I mean, why in the world, you know, have I got this problem? Don't worry, I've said the same thing to God. What's going on, Lord? Why is this thing affecting me? But you see, I had to see God in everything. And until you can see God in your enemy, you're never going to love him.
That's it.
You've got to see God in everything, even in Satan.
Yes.
And then you've robbed him of his power.
That's That's it.
He can't touch you. He can't hurt you. He can't be anything. It says here now, whither shall I go from your spirit, Lord? Where am I going to go so that I can get away where your spirit will not be able to touch me? I'm telling you tonight, we've all tried, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've all searched for that place, but I tell you, none of us have found it. Why? Because there is no place where you can get away from God. His hand's going to reach you. I don't care whether you go to the ends of the earth. God is there. It says here, if I ascend up into heaven, behold, thou art there. This is verse 8 if you're looking. If I make my bed in hell, oh, you can't tell me God's going to be down there.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Why? Because hell is nothing except a word and whatever your consciousness makes it to be. That's all. I was in a conference meeting about 40 years ago. And in this conference, I'd been speaking at that conference for a number of years. And this time, I had this special meeting and I said, look, there's a couple of things that God has been showing me. And I just want to kind of share it with you. Not to tell you this is the truth, but I want to know, have you been thinking like this? And I said, the first thing is the question of hell. I said, you know, I'm at the place where I'm not terribly confident that there is such a place. I happen to think that maybe this is the figment of somebody's imagination.
Yeah.
And so at the end of that little session, and I didn't say that, you know, there's no hell, and, you know, I never said that. All I said was, have any of you people been thinking like this?
Yeah.
I said, I'd like to know, would you come and tell me? We finished the meeting, everybody turned around, and they went out. And that's the last time I saw any of those people. I never saw any of those people again, not ever. That was the end of my ministry in the conference. They would not let me preach again.
Yeah.
They said, we'll not come if you come. I said, what have I done? Well, whatever it was, they got it. They thought, you know, if I ascend unto heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, and I haven't got a life belt, thou art there. Help us, Lord.
Yes.
Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand will hold me. Surely the darkness shall cover me, but even the light, the night, shall be light about me. The darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as the light are both alike unto thee. Oh God, help us here today. If some of you are still crying into your porridge every morning over your circumstances, if you're still having a problem with issues in your life, that because of the problems that we have in our nations, and we all have them. You have them here in the United States, we have them in Australia. Because of these problems that arise, that affect us, they affect our income, they affect our living, and many other things. When are we going to understand? When are we going to begin to live this Christian life as we were intended to live it?
Yes.
Now, you can live as a normal, ordinary person because your consciousness is exactly designed for that.
Right.
That is your consciousness. Because we all design our own consciousness. And we set it up according to what we want and expect. That's our expectation.
Yes.
But I'm telling you today, the Christian life is the person who lives and sees God in everything. And that you live in the presence of the Almighty God. And if you live in the presence of Almighty God, nothing of this world can touch you. Because he said that his hand would be upon you. Turn to Psalm 145. And listen to this. Verse 16. The Lord says, the psalmist says concerning the Lord, he opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Would you read that verse with me?
Yes.
Together. Let's read it. Thou openest thy hand and satisfies the desire of that includes you. Oh God, help us this morning. Help us. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. You see those little sparrows out there? He said, not one of those can fall to the ground without my permission. Oh God, help us. Why in the world should we have a worry? Why should we be concerned about some circumstance in our life? Only because you left God behind. I'm sorry. He left you behind because you didn't want to keep up. You see, I want to tell you that Christ is moving through this earth. He's moving right here in this meeting this morning. He's right here. And his presence is here. But see, for many, you walk out that door, you left Christ here. And you get back out home and you're back into the old life. It's all just reeling off, you know. You see? But I want you to know, if you want to have a family, you better invite Christ into your home.
Yes.
Let him live there. He's one of the family. And if he is living there, I will tell you, there will never be a need in your life. To walk in the presence of God is the most amazing experience that you can have.
Yes.
In Luke chapter 15, we have here a parable, actually, but it's so real in its application to us, because it talks about a man that had two sons. It's verse 11. And this son, one of them, he says to the father, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided to them living. It wasn't his living, just living. He divided to them, to him, what he needed in order to live his life. And we've all done that. We've all done that. You know, we set ourselves up with what we want to have. And so this boy, of course, comes to the father and says, give me what belongs to me. What is rightful that I should have? Because the father was a king, so he was a rich man, owned much land and much money, etc., and all of this. Give me what belongs to me. Well, beloved, I want to tell you something. There's nothing belonging to you. Even your life is not yours. It came from the Father. You see? You were created out of God in the very beginning. Your body, you had nothing to do about that. You didn't know what your body was going to be. You didn't even know whether you were going to be a male or a female, did you? You didn't decide when you were going to be born. No, God did that. I mean, a lot of people try to all work it out for themselves, but, you know, God has the last say. And there are many people today that I find that are unable to conceive. And I've had many, many people, many women that have come and said, would you pray for me? I've not been able to conceive. Well, what's going on in our world? Because God gave an instruction to the first man in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. He said, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Oh, but of course, he wasn't just talking about ordinary childbirth. Because when Adam was on the outside of the garden, you know, he and Eve decided one day that they thought they might like, you know, some children. So they produced the first child. He was called Cain. But he was a murderer.
Yeah.
Was that what God was talking about when he said, I want you to be fruitful, multiply and fill the earth?
No.
No. If you turn to James chapter 1 verse 18 in the New Testament, you find it saying there that God, of his own will, he begat us.
Right.
Of his own will. He didn't need anybody else to help him to reproduce.
Amen.
Because God is male and female. So he was able to reproduce out of himself. And this is where you came from. You are not the product of your mother and your father, except in your mortality, which is your consciousness. That's all. But when you realize that Jesus Christ said, you are bone of my bones, and you are flesh of my flesh. Now, we have to be careful here because, you see, we've got our own consciousness of what we are. So you ask the average Christian, what are you today? What makes up the totality of you? And they say, well, I'm a body, I'm a soul, and I'm a spirit. Well, I don't think so. Not for me anyway. Because you can be that if you want to. But see, Jesus Christ, he said in John chapter 6, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. Oh God, help us here. Because you see, this is bringing about a change in our consciousness. Therefore, can I say I am body, soul, and spirit? Am I flesh and blood? Because if I am, I cannot be a child of God. Why? Because God is not a man. Come on, you hearing this?
Yes,
we are. I cannot be flesh and blood. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, you'll find there that Moses is really talking, and he says, the life is in the blood. That's why Israel, whenever they ate, if they ate meat, it had to be killed in a certain way, and all the blood had to be taken out.
Yes.
They were forbidden to eat or drink or eat blood. Even in the meat, they had to drain it out completely. Why? Because it represented mortality. If you are flesh and blood, you cannot be a child of God. Because the offspring must be exactly what the parent is. So if you are a child of God, you must be not flesh and blood. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Flesh and blood It can have a, you know, you can catch the flu. Flesh and blood can have a heart attack, can have all kinds of diseases. Gets old and eventually, you know, you wind up in a box under the ground. And this is what happens. So now, is that the truth? Is that what we are? Oh no, we are the children of God. If you're the children of God, then you must be born of God. When God created the heavens and the earth, here he is standing out there on nothing, and he's speaking into existence the earth, the planets, the stars, the sun, the moon. He's putting it all in place. Tell me something. Where did the material for all of that come from? It came out of himself. You know what that means? Nothing in this universe, nothing that did not come out of him.
That's right, right.
Therefore, it is all spirit.
Yes. Right.
Now, that wood up there in that building, it might look like wood, but I want to tell you, it came out of God.
Yeah, it did.
And so did your body. So did your body. It came out of God. And the material which became the construction of your body is actually spirit. Jesus Christ, as he was, could never have died upon the cross. He could never have died. He was eternal. But he was bound to go to the cross. Why? Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father said to him, "Son, I want you to take upon yourself what my people are in their fallen state as mortal human beings. I want you to become one of them. And then take that life into death. I want you to take that life into death because it's of no use to anybody. I mean, all that's going to do is you'll be born and you're going to die. That's it. That's the end of the story. So I want you to take upon yourself the form of the man with his mortality. Blood, flesh and blood. And that's what went to the cross. And I went through this yesterday, but I wanted to go through it again with you this morning. Listen, Jesus Christ did not go to the cross expressly because of the sin of mankind. I don't believe that was the real issue at all. In fact, the word sin, you remember, hatamo in the Greek, it's a sporting term. It has nothing to do with murder and rape and all this other wickedness that's in the world. Nothing to do with it at all. It was like the man shooting the arrows in the Olympic Games. This is where the word was used. He'd shoot his arrow at the target and he missed the bullseye. And they called out, "You sinned, you sinned." They didn't use the word sin, they used the Greek word hatama. What does it mean? You missed.
Yes.
That's what it means.
What I mean.
You missed. And we have all missed the mark. What is the mark? The mark is the standard of the stature of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And every time, every thought, every word, every action that you commit is checked against the mark.
Yes.
And if you miss, that's what it's called sin. You didn't reach the standard. That's what God said. But now listen, God is a father. God is not your judge. God is your father. And so he says to you, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You see, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to help you. I will do everything in my power to help you to reach that mark, because you will meet it. Because it's not impossible. There's a man that walked this earth who never once fell short of that mark. And it's his standard that God is holding up to you today. How is it, beloved, that the Christians can just continually keep on doing the thing that we know is not what God wants us to do? But because nobody has sort of challenged us, I mean, you know, they say, well, there's nothing wrong with this because, you know, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not, you know, doing anything wrong. But listen, how can we continue to do that which is contrary to the child of God? The child of God must be as God is. God is perfect. Therefore, so should we. I'm not preaching at you today. I'm talking out of myself because I'm experiencing the same thing. And it has challenged me, and it keeps on challenging me. Because, you know, we start with the big things and we kind of settle them and think, oh, well, you know, I'm not doing too bad. I'm not doing that anymore. So. But see, there's all those little things. You knew that there were little sins and big sins, didn't you? Yeah. No, there's not. You don't meet that mark. You've missed the mark. If you only meet it by that much, if you miss it by that much, you still miss the mark. Because God wants us to live in this world as a demonstration of who He is.
Yes.
We are here to express Christ, not to express ourselves, but to express Christ.
Yes.
So, of course, this boy said, "Give me what belongs to me," and away he went. Because the father gave it to him. Have you ever wanted something, but God never said yes, but you got it anyway? You see, Father knows what He's doing. If He just stopped you getting anything that you really wanted, you'd just get mad, and that would be the end of that, you see. He wouldn't have a chance then. No, He may let you have what you want for a while, but the day will come when that thing's going to turn around and bite you. And then you'll cry out, "God, what's going on here? Why is this happening to me?" Well, you kind of brought it on yourself. But hey, God's not finished with you. He's not going to wipe you out. Don't you worry. No, sir, He's not going to wipe you out. He's just going to help you until you reach that standard. And that's the standard of Christ. And that should be the standard of every Christian in the world. What a world it would be if that was our standard. And every one of us hit that mark every time in all of our actions and our living. Well, the man went into a far country. Now, he had a pocket full of money. He had everything that he wanted. And he went there and he had a ball. I mean, you know, he had about 100 friends that immediately flocked around him and said, "You know, you're the greatest guy we've ever known." Because he had a pocket full of money. That's always, you'll have plenty of friends, you've got a pocket full of money. And he had a wonderful time. The Bible says that he enjoyed himself. And he did. But see, the time came when his bank balance ran out. Gone. And he hadn't been watching it, and it was a bit of a shock to him one day when he writes a check and the bank says, "I'm sorry, but you're overdrawn." I can't be. I mean, my father's a king. "Well, I'm sorry, but it's empty." And this man that lived with riotous living, whatever that means, I think it means having a good time, he ends up feeding the pigs, for goodness sake. And for a Jew, that would be about the worst thing that could happen. to feed the pigs. I mean, they don't have anything to do with pigs, and you don't put pork on the plate for them for dinner, you know. So this man had a real hard time. And it was only when he had the hard time that he began to think another thought, a different thought to what he had when he left home. He's got another thought now. He said, this is crazy. You know, my father is a king and I'm out here feeding pigs. Come on, this is crazy. Did you know that your father owns the entire world? And you sit at home crying because, you know, you haven't got enough money to buy this or to do that. Come on, this is reality. We have to understand that the life in which we are involved today is not a life separated from God.
That's right.
You're not separated from God. Christ is in every one of you.
That's right.
He's in every man out there. They don't know it. We're supposed to know it, but it doesn't make any difference for some of you here. Come on. But Christ dwells in you. You get into a spot, and I'm telling you, you'll need to know. We need to have the presence of the Christ with us every day. Years ago, traveling on my way to Sydney in my vehicle, with a load in my car of people, I went over the top of this hill, which was the beginning of the down of through the mountain into Sydney. And as I got over the top, I was doing the standard 100 kilometres an hour, which is about 62 miles an hour. And coming up that range, and this is a two-lane road, one up, one down the range. And down there are three semi-trailers coming up. Only one of them is trying to pass the other two. I mean, they're doing about 4 miles an hour, flat out, first gear. And the guy trying to pass, he's pumping his foot up and down, trying to get that little bit out of it, you know, that's going to get him past those other two. And I come down there, there's about 2,000, 3,000 foot drop on this side of the road, no fence, nothing. And I said, Lord, this is you and me here now. And all I know is that this is an impossibility for me, but I'm sure that you can do something. I don't know what happened there. I really cannot tell you what happened, but I got past those semi-trailers without going over the side. I've seen some things in my life. I've had two accidents. I was riding my bicycle in the city of Brisbane. Of course, this is going back 70 years ago. I was riding my bicycle. And my mother said to me, don't you ride in the town, in the city. Of course, it was nothing like what it is now. You know, the cars in those days, you were doing 40 miles an hour, you were flat out, you know. They were just the old fellas, you know, the old cars. So this, the policeman, no light system, no traffic lights, policeman standing there waving the traffic this way, and I'm behind the last vehicle going this way, and this line of traffic here, as this last car is approaching the policeman there doing the direction, he turns and he starts to wave the traffic in the across. And so they come, but there was a truck at the beginning of this line, and he saw the last car, but he didn't see me on the push bike. Well, he splattered me all over the road. And I wake up on the footpath there, and the policeman's bending over me saying, Sonny, can you tell me your name, please? Tell me your name. Can you give me your name of where you come from, your address, and so on? And I'm, my head, I can't even think straight, you know. But I told him my name. And they eventually contacted my parents. But it had simply gone over my right leg. Smashed it to smithereens, bone on the road there and everything, and over on my bike at the same time. these are the things that happened in my life. And I want to tell you that they had an impact upon my spiritual life. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 10 years of age, but I tell you, it didn't make much difference to me. I mean, you know, I thought that my Sunday school teacher told me, now you're born again, you're a child of God, you're going to go to heaven when you die. That's what he told me.
Yeah.
See, but it didn't really change anything in my life. I was still living my life the way, I mean, 10 years of age, and my mother, I was 12 actually, and my mother said, don't ride in the city. I'm riding in the city. You know, that's a young boy, isn't it? That's how we do things. See? And so what can I say? God, why did you let that happen to me? I shouldn't have been riding because my mother said, don't ride. Children obey your parents. But you see, it doesn't matter. God's still there.
Yeah.
And instead of losing my leg, which all the doctors told my parents, they've got no chance of saving your boy's leg. He's going to lose that one. But there came a doctor into the hospital at that time who actually was a Christian man, and the leading orthopedic surgeon in Australia came to the hospital that day. And my father knew him because he was a Christian. He was part of the fellowship that we belonged to. And my father got him on the phone in the hospital and asked him if he would come down and look at his boy. He came down and he checked out my leg and he said, look, he said, I've seen a lot of, you know, accidents like this. He said, I will not be able to guarantee you that that leg could be saved. And my father said, please, would you undertake the operation to put it back together? So he thought for a while. He said, all right. He said, I will. But he said, I will not guarantee you that I can save the leg, but I will do my best. I've still got my leg.
Yeah.
You see, God's in everything.
Yeah.
And even when you disobey, even when you're doing something that's wrong, listen, stop crying about your past. Stop crying about the problems that you've faced and even the ones that you face now. And don't worry about America and what's going to happen to it, you know, whether it's going to become, you know, just a little republic somewhere out there. Whatever is going to happen. If you have the presence of Christ with you today, you can face anything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But you and I are the children of God. So this boy, he's out there feeding the pigs, see? And so the Bible says that he came to himself. Now, I've often thought about this. Now, which self did he come to?
Yeah, right.
He must have come to some self, but it wasn't the self that left his father. It must have been another self.
Right.
I think that he must have suddenly realized who he was.
Yeah.
The son of a king feeding pigs. Oh, God help us. Children of the living God. But our bodies falling apart around us. God help us. We are the children of God.
Amen.
Christ dwelling in us. But we've got to take these pills so we don't have a heart attack. Come on. To see God in everything in your life and to walk in the presence of God is the secret of the Christian life. So this man is feeding the pigs, and the Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself. I think that was another self. Maybe that was the real self. And what happens? He says, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father. Are you listening? Some of you people, you've still got hurts in your heart. You're still suffering from experiences that you've been through. You're still suffering today even because of maybe rules and regulations and laws in your country. And you're still worrying about it all. But when he came to himself, he said, there's my father. He's a king. He's got a heap of servants in his house. He doesn't have to do anything. I mean, these servants are doing everything for him. He never goes hungry because he's got stacks of food there. He's got his refrigerators absolutely full, ice cream and all. I mean, it's all there. And God help us. I'm feeding the pigs. Come on. Have you still got something in your life that you're still fretting about? Are you still, you know, mad at somebody? Mad at your mother? Mad at your father? Or your uncle or grandfather or something? Because I want to tell you, it's time you came to yourself. So this boy says goodbye to the pigs. He said, I'm off. I'm going back home. Well, now here's the boy, you know, and if you'd been there, I'm sure I know the story, you see, because here's the father. He's up on the veranda there, which is elevated on a hill, I'm sure. The house was probably up on the top of a hill there. And he's looking down that long road every day. What's he looking for? He's looking for the boy.
Yes.
Why? Because he knows he's going to come back.
Yeah.
God knows you're going to come back. But boy, after you've punished yourself, after you've gone through, you know, all of your crying and your fretting and your fears and everything else, but you're going to come back because you know that your father has all the answers. And he's got a room for you in Father's house. And you are the room. So he comes home. And the father sees that boy. Well, what does he do? He says, now, wait a minute. This guy, you know, he's done the wrong thing. You know, he's taken all that money. He's wasted it out there. Well, it was his brother that told the father that.
Yeah.
Father, what are you waiting for that guy for? Look at the money he's wasted. He's just wasted it. He's given it away and, oh man, you're not going to help him, are you? Sure, he said, he's my son. He saw that boy coming up the road and that father got down there. I think he slid down the banister rail that time. He didn't take the steps. He got down there as quick as he could. He was running down that road. And he put his arms around that boy. And he loved him. And what did he do? He took him home. He said to the servants, now, there's a robe in there. You know, it was made for this boy. I want you to get that robe out and all of the trimmings and everything else that goes with it. I want to bring it out here and put it on this boy. Dress him up. But Father, you know, I mean, I wasted everything out there. Everything you gave me, I've given it away. I've lost it. Father says, don't worry, son. He said, when I've finished, you won't have lost anything because I'm going to put it all back. And he did. He dressed him up like the son of a king. He put shoes on his feet because he wanted to be a servant. And servants don't wear shoes in those days. He put shoes on his feet because he's a prince.
Yes.
He's the son of the king. And he puts a ring on his finger, which was his authority.
Yeah.
He's the son of a king.
Yes.
Man, he doesn't pay his ticket on the bus, you know what I mean? He just gets on. He's the son of the king.
Right.
And here's everything that he lost, the king's returned.
Yes.
Beloved, I want to tell you, you may have thought you lost a lot in your upbringing or in whatever circumstance you've been in. Maybe you've been in business and you've gone broke, you've gone into bankruptcy. I want to tell you, God's going to restore everything that the locust hath eaten. And all you need to do is to see the presence of God where you're standing now. Where is God in your life? Do you pray for a God that's up there in the sky? If you do, he's not going to help you very much. He's up there. But if you have a God that's standing where you're sitting, then that God's going to meet your need. And whatever you have lost in this life, He's going to return. You are all kings and priests unto God.
Amen.
All of you are kings and priests unto God. So the prodigal son, Adam was a prodigal son.
Yes.
See, he ended up out there in the far country. But he lived for 930 years. Can you imagine that? He wouldn't die. Why? He's the son of the king.
Yeah.
930 years. Just imagine what he saw in his life.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm staggered at what I've seen in my life. I mean, I know life before computers. There were no computers when I was a kid. I don't think they'd even dreamed about it then. And there's a lot of other things. I mean, the first motor car we had, she was an old tin Liz, but I'm telling you, that was a motor car. We got in that thing and thought we were King Billy, you know. My father was, he was a government official in the War Damage Commission for Queensland. And at the end of the war, you know, they were selling off all their vehicles. And my father bought one of the Chevy sedans that the army used. See, and this Chevy sedan, we'd never had a car like that before. And so he never picked it up. He told him to take it to a garage and arrange with the garage to look it over and make sure everything was right, and to take the khaki paint off it and to paint a nice green on it and so on. And then he was going to pick it up. Well, the night he was going to bring this thing home, us boys are sitting on the front fence. We're waiting for this, you see. Dad's bringing the car home. We sat there and we sat there and we sat there and we waited, and it's getting dark. And we said, I thought this was a pretty fast car, that he'd be in Zoom, he'd be out here. And eventually he came up the road. And he's coming up real slow, and we could hear the motor roaring. Oh, what's this, you know? What sort of a car is this? Oh, it was okay, nothing wrong with the car. But when he got into it, he said, this is too powerful for me, so he drove it all the way out from the city in low gear. He wasn't going to change up to second or top or what. Oh, Lord. So my brother learned to drive, and my father was a very, very nervous man. But then he'd been in the war in France, and he'd been gassed with that mustard gas that they used on, and he was a mess from all of that. So I guess he had an excuse. And yet he was a brilliant man with his mind. But you see, we are the children of the King. We're the children of the King. And whatever you have lost, He's going to restore. Everything that the locust hath eaten. And then when He's restored it all, you and I are going to take our place in the divine government of God, in the kingdom which He is establishing on this earth right now. We are the kings, or the king priests, if you like. The king priests, for the government of the kingdom is centered in a priesthood, not in a government like you have here or like we have in Australia. Not a government like that. A bunch of people that are so stupid they don't know what they're doing, and they're telling everybody else how they're going to, you know, what they're going to do. But you see, we're going to rule and reign in righteousness with the King.
Yes, Lord.
The presence of God. Are you conscious today that where you sit right now is where God is?
Yes. Amen.
When you're at home, are you conscious of God walking with you,
yeah.
talking with you, being there to meet the need, whatever it may happen to be. You see, that's the Christian life. But too many people leave God here, and then you go home. That's why you've got to come back next Sunday, because you want to see him again. And you want to just tell him you love him. But what about the other 6 days of the week? It's time that we learned that wherever God is, that's heaven. That's heaven. And so if we walk with God day by day, and if today God is where you are and you are where God is, perhaps that's better, where God is, then you will be filled with the joy of the Lord, and he will be there loving you, blessing you, meeting the needs whatever they are, and you and he shall walk together in beautiful oneness. Today, I believe God is challenging us, each one, to that new walk which is in the presence. For when you walk in the presence, you feel safe and you feel satisfied and you have no fear, no fear. And you have no lack. What did the word say that we started with? When the Father opens his hand, he supplies the need of the universe. Yes. Oh God, help us. May the Lord bless you this morning, encourage you and help you to walk in his presence and enjoy that presence day by day. Amen.